This is Jim Inkster, and we begin this segment with Arianna Newman. Her book is When Time Stopped, a memoir of my father's war and what remains. And good morning to you, Arianna, joining us from abroad. I think you're in Great Britain today.
I am. Good afternoon from here, but good morning to you.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. Well, this starts in 1941. The first member of the Newman family was arrested for swimming in a stretch of river forbidden to Jews. He was transported to Auschwitz. What happened after this?
Well, it was my father's first cousin, Otto, and he had been working in a labor camp, and he had just gone back home, and he took a swim in the river. It was a hot day, and he was transported in Auschwitz, and within a few days, I think 17 days, actually, he was placed, because he had committed a criminal act by swimming in a river forbidden to Jews. He was placed in the penal block, and this was a terrible block where they tortured inmates, and he only lasted 17 days, which was astounding because he was a healthy, fit 29-year-old.
Well, Arianna grew up in Venezuela. She graduated from Tufts University with a dual degree in history and French literature and earned a master's degree in Spanish and Latin American literature from New York University. But her early years were such that you yearned to be a detective, and this story is one in which those early yearnings of yours certainly come into play.
That's true. I always wanted to be a detective. It's just taken me, you know, a few decades to finally solve the mystery that started when I was a little girl. But I have. I managed to be a detective after all.
And you launched on a years-long quest to discover who your father really was.
Yes, that's right. So I think the mystery started when I was 8 or 9 years old. And as part of our detective activities, we would spy on people that worked or that lived in my house. And one of those afternoons, one of my fellow detectives reported that my father had moved a box, and he had moved it in a mysterious way. So I waited for them all to go home, and I found the said box. And I was really disappointed because I thought the box would contain some treasure. And instead, it contained some old papers. I looked through it nonetheless, and all of a sudden, one of those old papers had a photograph of my father. It was a pink card, had a photograph of my father, a stamp of Hitler. It said Berlin 1943, which made no sense because I didn't know much about my father before I came along, but I did know that he was from Prague and that he had left in 1949. So Berlin 1943 made no sense. And what really, really was shocking was that the part where it said name didn't have my father's name. It had someone else's name entirely. So I think that's when the mystery began. And I didn't see that box or that card again until 2001, when my father had died. And this time he had cleared all his papers away. He knew he had a series of strokes, so he knew he was dying. And he left me that same box that I had found as a child detective with that same ID card. And the difference was now that the box was just crammed with papers of his life during World War II.
And
it's taken me 2 decades, basically, to solve it. But I think I have pretty much solved the mystery of my father.
Well, you say you've pretty much solved it. What have you solved?
Well, I've done two things, really. I mean, I've pieced together my family's life. My father never spoke about his family, and I now know there were 34 members of the family. And I've pieced together what happened to all of them between 1936 and to 1945. And what I've also pieced together is my father's astounding story of survival, because he survives as a Czech Jew, age 22. He survives by going to Berlin, to the belly of the beast, and hiding in plain sight, so by not hiding at all, and spends 2 years living in Berlin, pretending to be someone else, obviously not Jewish, and he works at a paint factory for the Nazi machinery and passes off information to the Allies. Pretty remarkable mystery, really, and pretty incredible story of survival against all odds.
And ultimately, your father ends up in Venezuela, right?
He does. So he survives the war in 1945 and eventually tries to, I think, start his life again in Prague. And then when the communists come in 1948, he decides he's, I think he's had enough. And him and his brother emigrate to Venezuela. They arrive there in 1949, and they start off again. So the same paint factory that the family had in Prague with the same name. They just start their lives again. And I don't come into his life until the 70s, by which point he just really didn't speak at all about his life before.
Did he speak at all before then about what had happened?
Not really. I mean, I think some people that met him in the 50s and 60s knew a little bit more than I did. They would get little snippets. I think he was so traumatized by what had happened to his family and by the pressures of living in the heart of Berlin, surrounded by Nazis, when you were a Jew whose family were being killed in concentration camps. It was just too much to sort of, you know, to really share with others. I think when you're that traumatized, you put little fragments away in the back of your head somewhere, and you move on if you can, which I think he did.
The book is When Time Stopped, A Memoir of My Father's War and What Remains, from Arianna Newman. And your father must have been an amazing person to not only have survived as he did, but then to go to another country and have vast success there.
He was. He was very tenacious and very daring, and I think he never took no for an answer. He never let any fear stop him. Being wanted by the Gestapo in Prague, if you managed to survive 2 years surrounded by Nazis, really the prospect of emigrating to a beautiful tropical country, which was actually then filled with promise and potential, it wasn't that difficult. But he was, you know, he was a bit of a prankster, and he was always late, and he wasn't the best student. He wasn't the most disciplined before the war. But I think the war taught him he had to be strict and disciplined and punctual and worked very, very hard. And that served him well when he emigrated to Venezuela.
Your mother must have quite a story, too.
My mother does have a story completely different, because she comes from a very traditional Catholic Venezuelan family. And she didn't know very much about my father's life either. She knew the sort of rough brush strokes of what had happened, so she knew that he had survived by pretending to be someone else, but she didn't know all the details. So it's a lot of this book and a lot of my research really has come as a bit of a shock to her as well.
How much of an age difference was there between your mother and father?
They were 20 years, so my mother had me when she was 29 and my father was almost 50.
Do you wish you could talk to your father now?
Oh, absolutely. I understand them so much more now that I've pieced it all together. And I actually, I think it's brought me closer to him. And I still have so many questions. And I think we all go through that, right? When we lose our parents, we just realize there are all these things that you wanted to ask them and you just didn't. So, I wish I could turn back time.
There are probably streets in Europe that you know he walked, that you walk.
Right.
That must be sobering.
It was sobering, and I tried to retrace my family's steps, and I, you know, went to the streets that they lived in before the war and during the war. So I went to a concentration camp or the ghetto of Terezin, and I walked around Berlin exactly down the streets that he described, because he left a few pages describing his life there, and it was incredibly sobering. And going to Berlin actually was incredibly, incredibly difficult, and Berlin is a fabulous, vibrant city that has nothing to do, obviously, with the Berlin of 1943 that my father was in. But you know, I got there, and I had all the, you know, I had 3 days of serious research, and I got there, and I really had to fight every urge, because every pore in my body, every cell in my body just wanted to turn around and get on the next train out of there.
Well, we thank you for sharing your story, your father's story. The book is When Time Stopped, from an accomplished journalist, Arianna Newman, and she is joining us from Great Britain today, and I'm sure your father, if he were here, would be quite proud of what you have done, and you have fulfilled your journey as a detective.
Thank you very much, Jim. I hope he'd be proud, and I'm very happy to be a detective, and it's been lovely chatting to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Arianna, and a reminder that we only have a few days left in the Spring Member Fest, and we'd like to hear from you if you have not already contributed, and we're trying to get as many sustaining members as possible, and I'm drinking my coffee from the WRKF beautiful orange mug, 16 ounces. And if you'd like to get one of those, Gwen Pelagi tells me there are fewer than 100 left. So this is the time to get in. $150 a year, $12.50 a month, 42 cents a day or thereabouts. You can do so by calling 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. And the WRKF Board of Directors has added a $50 bump if you contribute that the board will provide to make the coffers more full. And right now, as we know, we're having some challenges in our world. We'll get through them. We always do. But the road to get there could be a bit rocky. And today on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 941 points below its start. And we're just an hour and 12 minutes into trading. 24,077. looks like it's going to go below 24,000. And mind you, just a few weeks ago, the Dow stood at 29,569. It had gone up about 50% under President Trump. And now it's at about 20% and is not going in the right direction. And this is a president who hung his hat on the stock market performance because he could not do so on the budget deficit, which is over $1 trillion. The economy, despite the fact that unemployment is low, is not doing well in other ways. And the stock market was going up, and once again, not up as much as it did under President Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama, who saw a 149% gain during his 8 years. And the previous Democratic president, William Jefferson Clinton, saw a 229% gain, the most ever for a U.S. president in his 8 years. And that was a president who raised taxes. And, oh, by the way, the budget was also balanced. President Clinton left office with a surplus that has now gone into deficit territory by $1 trillion. So we will follow it with you. We appreciate your support. And the numbers you hear are real numbers. It's not fake news. Not many people talk about the deficit because it's not good news. But it's there, and we have to address it at some point. And as the coronavirus reaches more communities in our country, we're going to be listening to WRKF more than usual because we can be certain we're getting the latest information and what you're hearing is reliable and fact-based. And the number to call is 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. Thanks to those of you who have contributed, and thanks to you who will be contributing, and we hope you'll get in before the end of this hour, 855-893-9753. We'll hear from Christine Perkins a bit later in the week, but now we're going to have a fabulous chef.